إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we began this series of Fajr reminders from Connecticut, which alhamdulillah, I think 2 or 3 days back, which I started from the place where I accepted Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused me to remember the first question in my qabr, which is the question that relates to my relationship with Him, Jalla Jalalu. Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And today I remind myself and you about the second of those questions, which is Ma Deenuk. Once again, this is not a question which is asking for information. This is a question that is talking about practice. Ma Deenuk is not simply to be said Deen Islam. Because at that time it is not the tongue which will talk, it is not some memorized lessons which we will repeat, but it is the actual life that we led which will speak for us. And in this context, I remind myself anew that one of the greatest fallacies that we meaning generally the Muslims, have fallen into is the fallacy that they believe that Islam is an ideology. That they believe that Islam is a theory. Islam is not an ideology. Islam is a practice. Every practice is based on some ideology. That's beside the point. The point is that Islam is actually a practice. Islam is like judo or like karate or like aikido. You can become the world's greatest expert on aikido. You can know everything that there is to be known about the theory of aikido. You can know everything that there is to be known about all the different moves using a katana, the long sword of the Japanese. But in a fight, if you cannot defend yourself, then you will be just as dead as anybody else. What will defend you in the fight is your actual knowledge of Aikido, meaning can you do it? And the only way you can do it is if you have spent that many hours in the dojo. There is a wonderful story about the founder of Aikido, the man who developed and invented the art, that he was called by the Shogun in Japan, and the Shogun said, give me a demonstration of your art. And the man said, I cannot give you a demonstration. He said, why? He said, because if I demonstrate, one of my students will die. He said, I can't just kill somebody. He said, there is no way of showing it to you, unless in an actual fight. Because if I fight, then somebody has to die. And I can't do that. Now, this is the biggest problem that we have done with Islam, which is that we treat Islam like an ideology. Even those of us who are interested in learning about Islam, we learn about Islam. Islam didn't come for us to learn about it. Islam came for us to practice it. Now, you cannot practice what you don't know, obviously. So, I'm not saying you don't have to. For example, if you want to improve your salah, you must know what are the faraid of salah and what are the masail of Tahara and so on and so forth. But until you actually pray, you can know, you can write a book on Salah. But until you actually pray, how will this khushu in Salah come? And that praying comes not from just praying one time. And this is the famous, there is a wonderful book which I always recommend called Outliers. And it's a really wonderful book that one must read. And one of the things that this guy proves statistically is that to become expert in anything, you must do it at least 10,000 hours. You must have 10,000 hours of that thing under your belt to become an expert in that, whatever it is, whether it's playing tennis or whatever the thing might be. Now, do we have 10,000 hours of salah? I can prove to you that if somebody has been praying from the time they became baligh, which say maybe it's age of 12 or 14, and today, like me, if you are, you know, in your late 50s or 60, then you have 10,000 hours. But it's not the question of 10,000, just 10,000 random hours of mechanically bowing and prostrating. It's praying and practice with khushu, with concentration. Now, this is what happens in a Aikido dojo or in a karate dojo. If you don't concentrate, somebody slams you. So it's when you are fighting in the dojo, it is a mock fight. It is against your opponent, who is not really your enemy, he is your friend. But in Aikido, my teacher used to tell me, he said, the best friend that you have in this dojo is the person who fights you as if he's your enemy. He said, the best friend is not the one who treats you kindly and who is nice to you. He said, that is not a best friend. He's your enemy, because he is not preparing you for the real day when you will actually face an enemy. Your best friend is the one who treats you like an enemy, which means that if you miss your concentration of 1 second, you get slammed. Now, that is the kind of concentration that is required, and 10,000 hours of that concentration. So it is working 10,000 hours with something at stake. Now, do we do that with our salah? I'm using salah only as one example. We have the whole of our deen. Do we do that with our deen? Is our practice of that level where we are completely and totally conscious and present in the present context? In Aikido, we call this centering. You say, center yourself. And if you center yourself, you cannot be moved. I can actually physically demonstrate that if you center yourself, you cannot be moved from your place, no matter how much force anybody tries. But without centering, you can just push you and you are gone. Now, this is the whole point of Islam as a practice. Islam came as a deen of practice. If you take the lives of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, how many books did the Sahaba write? All of them put together, not even one. All of them put together, not even one book. How many books did the... I'm not talking about collecting the ahadith from Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm talking about books in terms of ilm, in terms of explanation of the Quran and hadith and sunnah and so on and so forth. How many books did the Sahaba write? But every one of them, Wallahu A'lam, if they raised their hands and asked Allah, they would get it. If they raised their hands and asked Allah, they would get it. Now, that is the issue of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Now, obviously, this does not mean that there is anything wrong in acquiring ilm or going into the, daqaiq of masail and so forth. No. But one must be very clear, because as our Shaykh Abu Hasan al-Radwi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that the curtain of light is 1,000 times more dangerous and 1,000 times more difficult to tear than the curtain of darkness. He used to say that the curtain of darkness needs only one ray of light to tear it. But the curtain of light, he said, what will tear the curtain of light? Yeah, wo kehte noor ka parda zulmat ke parde se hazar guna zyada khatarnak hai. Agar zulmat ke parde ko phadne ke liye ek roshni ki kiran kafi. Meaning that curtain of darkness is ignorance and curtain of light is intellectual arrogance. Arrogance about ilm. I am an alim. I know. The rest of the people are jahilun. They don't know. This is lethal. This is absolutely lethal. And this is what happens when we have ilm without the mashq, without the amal. And that is why I remind myself and you that let us concentrate and constantly ask ourselves this question and say, what am I practicing? Not what do I know? And that's the reason I say, when the question in the cover, Ma deenuk, what is your deen? Meaning, what did you do? Allah will not ask you, what did you know? What did you know will be asked only as a hujjat against you on the Day of Judgment. What did you know which you did not practice? What did you know by itself is a hujjat, hujjat against us if we do not put it into practice. And therefore, by all means, acquire as much knowledge as you want, but concentrate on practicing that knowledge, putting that knowledge into practice. A person who knows only one ayah of the Quran and lives by it is better than the hafiz of the Quran who does not live by the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Does he not know that Allah is watching? This ayat came for the Asbab al-Nuzul say that the ayat came for Abu Jahl, but the Quran is for everybody. The Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara, one ayah. If someone lives his life by Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara, does he not know that Allah is watching? If you live your life by this one ayah, insha'Allah al-musta'an, this is enough for our najah. Because his whole life will be Allah is watching me. That is the essence of taqwa. How can such a person ever do anything wrong? How can such a person ever commit any sin? And if he commits a sin, immediately he will make tawbah because he knows Allah is watching me. And this is what Imam Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said. He said, they asked him, they said, how is it that you are so calm and peaceful and there is no, you know, you have no anxiety and you're not worried about anything? And Hasan al-Basri said, because of four things. He said, one, first thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for a purpose, which is to worship Him. So I worship Him. He said, second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the responsibility of sustaining me, so I leave that to Him. And he said, third thing, I do not commit sins. I try my best not to commit sins because I know Allah is watching. I'm ashamed to commit any sin because I know Allah is watching. And he said, fourth thing, I know one day I will die and face Allah. So I try to prepare for that. Such beautiful advice, so simple. Such beautiful advice, may Allah give us the tawfiq to practice it. Life becomes beautiful, as be absolutely stress, you know, stress-free. You are only concerned about, Allah is watching me, let me do what I am supposed to do, and if I make a mistake, I make tawbah, alhamdulillah. Practice of Islam, actual practice of Islam. And I think this is where we need to, I remind myself and you, let us focus and let us do that systematically, which is, I'm a great one for writing things down. So I say always, keep a note of that. What did you do today? Your ma'amulat, daily amal. What is your daily amal? Every single day that must happen, no matter what. Whether you are traveling, not traveling, busy, not busy, whatever, whatever, whatever. Your daily ma'amulat, what your daily amal, which is your zikr, which is your tilawat Quran, which is your fard salah, alhamdulillah, it is a boundary condition. You don't do that, you are out of Islam. So we're not talking about, I'm talking about the nawafil, your tahajjud and so on and so forth. Your fasting, sadaqat, people give, you take out your zakat and give sadaqah only in Ramadan, but sadaqah is not only for Ramadan. So what about the rest of the year? So all of this, make a list and keep track of that. Did I do it today? And no question of saying I was busy, I was tired. No busy, no tired, no nothing. This time must be taken out and this must be done absolutely without any excuse. And we don't have to justify to anybody else. It's for ourselves. It is between me and my Rabb. Jalla Jalalu. So very, very important for us to ensure that we translate our knowledge into actual practice of Islam. Because that is the only thing which we will be asked about. Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? Today we are in this morning I got a message saying all the, you know, what's happening with the Syrian refugees and Iraqi refugees and so on and so forth, and we must help them. This is what is happening to them and they are suffering and so on. Yes, the question is, what do you do about that? Allah will not ask you what happened to the Syrians. What did you do about that? And if you did not even make dua for them, at least minimum, absolute minimum, what we can do is make dua for them. Okay, maybe you can give something, you can't give something, that's a different matter. But at least minimum, we can make dua for them. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters who are in trials and tribulations. Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? And that is the question, the answer to Ma Deenuk. If you are able to say Deen Islam, it means this is what I practiced and I lived by. And I remind myself and you that there is no telling lies in the grave. If you did not do it, you are not going to say it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the questioning of the qabr and on the day of judgment easy for us and to enable us to answer those questions by living our lives in such a way that our life will speak for itself, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with His mercy and with His forgiveness and to enable us to live our lives in a way which pleases Him and to save us from all that does not please Him. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَرْحَمَ